David Clymer, longtime columnist with the Tennessean, a UT graduate, UT beat writer, and I'm just mentioned the longtime columnist with the Tennessean. David, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. How you doing, stranger?
Doing well. Life's good. What can I say?
I saw a picture looking out your back door.
sounds like a greeting.
And you can write the song, I don't know. Maybe it was on Facebook, or maybe it was on something. I don't know where I saw it, but man, congratulations! I'm happy for you know, you and Patricia. I really are.
Well, we moved here. It's Fripp Island, South Carolina. We moved here in October and did a whole lot of work to the house and just got things in order and really enjoying the life over here. It's quite hot right now, but got a cool breeze off the ocean that helps a bit. And, you know, like I said, life's good.
Well, the passing of John Ward and your interaction with John, we thought, Big Joe and I thought it was, hello to Joe anyway. Joe's sitting right over here.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good, David. It was my suggestion to get you on the show today.
You're a smart man.
Here's the deal. It was his suggestion, but my job.
That's true. I understand how that works. These are partnerships.
Yeah. But just John Ward, obviously the term icon's thrown around quite loosely, but certainly that.
Oh, absolutely. And John, one of the things he would joke about, people would talk about his popularity, and one of the first things, and John had quite an ego. I think anyone who spent much time with John realized that. But he would say, well, thank you. I think people do care for me. But remember, I've never lost a game. So that's part of it. He was the voice, not the coach. And to a lot of UT fans over the years, whatever John saw, and whatever he said as far as interpreting what he saw, it was gospel. But these were the days, and they're gone now, for better or worse. But John is a throwback to that era when, for years, early on in John's career as a play-by-play guy, there was very limited TV coverage of the game that most interested Tennessee fans. So he painted the picture, and he did it wonderfully. He did it in his own style. And so I think that accounted for popularity. To his credit, I think John adjusted to a degree, at least, with the landscape when television became much more of a player. But he really never relinquished that idea that he was indeed the voice of the Vols. He was the conduit for what was going on the field or on the court to the ball fan back home who wasn't attending the game. And a lot of people brought headsets, radios of some kind back in the day to listen to John's play-by-play, even when they were at the game, which I think is even further credit to the guy.
You know, Greg made a great point earlier, David. You know, back then, even into the 80s, you could name, with the 10 SEC schools, all 10 announcers. Today, you could name about three or four of them at most. I mean, those guys were, to me, growing up, and you covering, you were up there, they were larger than life, and I don't think we'll ever have that again.
Absolutely, and again, that's how things have changed. And you know, I enjoy the TV coverage as much as the next guy of games I want to see, so I don't begrudge that at all, But back in the day, it was exactly like that, Joe. And these guys were celebrities on campus and off. When they traveled, opposing fan bases recognized Larry Munson, John Ward, right down the line, Jim Hawthorne at LSU, and on and on and on. The people, Kaywood Ledford at Kentucky, Kentucky basketball was Kaywood Ledford to a lot of people who never got to see a game outside of the handful that were on TV. So it was a different era. And again, back to John Ward, one of his real gifts, I think, and something he paid particular attention to was trying to paint that scene, trying to let your imagination see what he was seeing. And he was very good at it. He is priceless and beyond that. And I've talked to several of them in the last several hours. His impact on a lot of people outside of broadcasting, a really good friend of mine, Mark Dyer, who is Been very successful in sports marketing for IMG and other companies. Mark credits John Ward for really getting him aimed in the direction that his career took him. And to my knowledge, Martin has never done a moment of radio. Maybe he did a fill-in here or there. But he worked for the Ball Network. It was one of his early-on jobs. And the lessons he learned from John about how to approach things, how to treat people, and really just how to kind of handle yourself in front of people and in front of crowds and in front of potential bosses. Those are things that a lot of these guys mentioned. So his impact goes beyond just, not just, but to the thousands and thousands of fans who loved him and borderline worshipped him, to the people that worked with him and learned so many lessons from him.
The mayor of Fripp Island, South Carolina, joining us this morning. And I mentioned,
benevolent empire.
Yeah, I think I misspoke at the top. Obviously, Rebecca knew happy for you guys over there. And, of course, I'm just, I know this is something you guys have been thinking about a long time. So happy for you with that. John, we had Bob Casting on last hour. And he said that John considered what he did calling the games a hobby, and that his job was the advertising business, the ad agency, and everything. And we all know that he just made a gazillion dollars with that thing.
Well, I think that's true in a way, but he also kind of carried that knowledge and that business acumen into building the Ball Network into what it has become. But yeah, John had a number of passions. I think his business was certainly one of them. His play-by-play work, whether it was a hobby or really his form of notoriety, was certainly important to him. He was a gardener. He was a tennis player. He played golf. He was involved in a lot of clubs in Knoxville. And he really is a passionate guy about a lot of things. And, you know, his wife, Barbara, who passed after an auto accident, I guess that was last summer, I think. I believe she died last July, and I'm going from memory there, and I know that was a major blow to John. He made a lot of money in advertising, but he did it in the same way he approached his play-by-play job, which is just sort of full throttle, jump in there. And, you know, one thing John didn't worry about was being the loudest voice in the room. He wasn't always that way, but when he had the floor, he took advantage of that, and I think that's probably why he was so successful in advertising.
David, you were covering up there when those basketball teams in the 80s were not very good, but John Ward.
They were horrible.
But he still did a great job.
Early 80s were really good. Mid 80s, okay. And then it just went totally south. Right.
He should have got extra pay for the Wade Houston era, because that was awful in the 90s. But he still brought it. I mean, I know Doug Roth and Tony White and Dyron Nix because of John Ward, and he made you listen to the games. Otherwise, I would have never heard, probably even thought about those guys.
Yeah, he was the show to a lot of people. And you're right, Joe. In those days, you talk about having to sell a product, trying to sell some of the Wade Houston teams, even with Allen as great a player as he was. Those were not good times for basketball. But John took that as part of the job. You know, losing streaks to him was the coach's issue, not his. Now, he was a UT grad. He was a UT fan. Although I've seen a couple of people write that there wasn't much homerism there, I would beg to differ. I think John had his own way of getting the point across. I don't think he ever talked about it's our ball or we just hit a big three-pointer or something like that. But he clearly was, you knew which team he was calling the game or which fan base he was calling the game for. But his ability, and there's an entertainment quality to some of the catchphrases, you know, bottom, give it to him, and right down the line. I've stayed in touch with Ernie Grunfeld for years, and of course Ernie's in the NBA GM with Washington now. Ernie has great respect for John, and part of that is because of the way John treated the people around him, treated, you know, the college guys and all that. It's part of what made John Ward John Ward.
David Clymer with us, of course, longtime columnist with the Tennessean, and we had all, you know, with Bob and everything last hour, and he said he had more people tell him not to follow John Ward than to follow mm-hmm. him, you know, and you know, you always know about, you want to be the guy who follows the guy with something like that. I had an opportunity back in the early 90s for the Banner to go over and do a Q&A and thing with John Ward, sat down with him. The Q&A took 30 minutes. His interview of me took an hour.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He didn't always have to be the subject. And again, I don't want to downplay it, and I mean no disrespect at all, because I think John would have admitted it. He had an enormous ego. But John could make you feel, I remember meeting him early on in my sports writing career, and he didn't treat you like this, you know, no talent kid, which is what I was. He offered lessons. He understood his own celebrity, but he didn't play it up in those situations. He could be among the most charming people you had ever been around. Having lunch or dinner with John was a treat, because it was almost like a play by play. He would, when he asked you to pass the salt, it wasn't, can you hand the salt? It was, you had to run the salt off a screen of pepper to get it to him, things like that. And he was just fine. And I think that's one of the lasting memories I'll have of John.
And you go ahead.
I was just saying, you think about, you know, we've said all last night, David, going through all the calls, and I remember this moment, remember that moment, and this moment stands out, and it's just, it was part of your youth. We've had some callers today talk about how emotional they've gotten with the passing of it. It's just tough that it's a part of our life and our culture. We're not going to see anymore and get emotional about things like that. But I'm glad it happened. I'm glad that we got to see that and feel it and breathe it and eat it up and all that stuff, because it is a part of who we are.
Yeah, and the signature calls will be there forever, hopefully, with the way we can reproduce those now. And I'm sure you guys have access to some, and I'm sure your listeners recall them. To this day, people do a John Ward impersonation. Tennessee fan, a lot of Tennessee fans I know, just at the drop of a hat, you can mention a play or a situation or a particular game, and somebody will drop into his or her version of the John Ward call of that particular game. So that's a part of his legacy, and it's a wonderful part of his legacy.
Well, David, I know you got a, what is it? Got a tea time at Ocean Creek? Is that Davis Love's course there?
Ocean Point is the older one, and it's already come and gone and been done. So that's why I was a little late responding to your message, but you got to play early before the heat hits here.
Oh, David, it's a rough life.
there's always the beach in the afternoon, though.
Okay, hey David, it's great catching up with you. Don't be a stranger. We're gonna keep up with you. Okay.
Good deal. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, David Clymer, retired to Fripp Island, South
Good
Carolina.
Good for him.
Yeah.